Good morning to each of you as we come on this 17th Sunday of what is called in the church year ordinary time. We begin our time of worship with the call to worship from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You who did not withhold your own son, will you not also give us all things through him? Let us worship God. Our opening hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 54. Our scripture lesson will be read by Deacon Jacqueline Collier.
Good morning. The kingdom of heaven. Can you hear me?
Ms. Collier, we need you a little more volume from you. We can't hear you.
Okay. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had bought and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fisherman pulled it up on the shore. Then he sat down and collected the goods, fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the edge of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing their teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of the house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get his wisdom and these miracle powers, they asked.
And here is our scripture lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 through 54. This is the word of the Lord. I believe we human beings have a perception problem. You know, we oftentimes think we have the proper perspective on an issue. In fact, many times we are way off. There's a story about Thomas Wheeler, CEO of the Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company, and he tells this story on himself. He and his wife were driving along an interstate highway when he noticed that the car was low on gas. He got off the highway, found a rundown gas station with just one gas pump. He got off the highway and went to this gas station. He asked the attendant to fill the tank and check the oil. Then he went for a little walk around the station just to stretch his legs. He had been driving for some time. As he was returning to the car, he noticed that the attendant and his wife were engaged in an animated conversation. The conversation stopped as he paid the attendant. But as he was getting back into the car, he saw the attendant wave and heard him say, "It was great talking to you." As Wheeler and his wife drove out of the station, Wheeler asked his wife if she knew that man. She readily admitted that she did. It seems they had gone to high school together and had dated steadily for about a year. "Boy, were you lucky that I came along," bragged Wheeler. "If you had married him, you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant instead of the wife of a chief executive officer." "My dear," replied his wife, "if I had married him, he'd be the chief executive officer, and you would be the gas station attendant." Yes, we often think we have the proper perspective on an issue when in fact we are way, way, way off. Jesus understood this tendency for us humans to get things wrong, especially when it comes to things spiritual. So he told a few parables. He said the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had. Cost was not a factor, and he bought that pearl. That reminds me of a story about an Air Force veteran who bought a Rolex watch in 1974 while he was stationed in Thailand. He bought the watch after hearing it was good for scuba diving, and he paid $345.97 for it. That was a lot of money back then, especially with this Air Force veteran, especially while he was on active duty. His salary was about $400 a month. So paying $345.97 for a watch, even though it was Rolex, was a lot of money. But when he looked at his watch, he decided it was too nice to wear in salt water, and so he decided to lock it away in a safe deposit box. Well, it turns out that Rolex remained in his safety deposit box for more than 40 years. while appearing on an episode of Antiques Roadway, or Roadshow as it's called, this veteran learned that his watch, which was unworn and came in its original box, certification and guarantee, was now worth between $500,000 and $700,000 at auction. Upon learning the value of the rare, pristine watch, this battle-tested veteran collapsed to the ground. Jesus, in his parables, is telling about two discoveries that are worth selling everything their owners had, nothing held back, in order to acquire those treasures. That sounds sort of like investing in a Rolex for some of us of limited means. Jesus is reminding us that there are some things in life that are priceless. These things are worth much more than a luxury watch. For example, how much would you take for your health? Let's face it. Some of us are selling our precious health quite cheaply, aren't we? Look at all those who believe that this COVID-19 holds no danger for them. You even have folks who will intentionally party with those who have the virus in order to prove that they won't get it. They are willing to gamble on their health and their life. One brilliant person on a beach in Florida even said, "If I get corona, I get corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying." Duh. How much is your health worth? Or how much would you take for one of your children? Now, before some of you ask, and I know you're thinking, which one? Let me just say I'm kidding. How much would you take for your good mind? Many of us do not appreciate the really important things in life until we lose them. Like President Bush, number one, said when he messed up the UNCF motto, "The mind is a terrible thing to lose." There are some things that are priceless, though we may not realize their worth at the time. There are some things that we need to sit down and look at, take time to evaluate, take time to note, and then rate them as priceless things in our life, and then ask whether our day-to-day priorities reflect the things that matter most. Do our day-to-day activities and priorities reflect the things that matter most? Let me tell you about someone who learned that the hard way. A 50-year-old man named Michael was visiting the 100-year-old Victoria Falls Bridge linking Zimbabwe and Zambia. The bridge is nearly as long as a football field. It offers a spectacular view of a large chasm below. Unfortunately, a continuous spray from a massive waterfall makes the rocks and vegetation along the lip of that chasm as slippery as a slide at a water park, but far less forgiving if you make a mistake. While taking pictures at the falls with his girlfriend on New Year's Eve, Michael dropped his glasses over the rim. For some strange reason, he decided to retrieve them. A headmaster at Summit College in Johannesburg and a highly regarded lecturer in geography, Michael was certainly aware of the risk. Nevertheless, he slowly edged his way to the rim, but then it happened. His foot slipped and he fell more than 100 feet to his death. Michael lost his life trying to retrieve a pair of glasses. I believe you will agree that there are no glasses in the world that are worth the loss of your life. Some things are priceless. Cost is not a factor. Those things cannot be measured in dollars. Your life is one of those things. Your family is another. Your health is another. But most important, says Jesus, is your soul. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Cost was not a factor. Why? Because he knew he was getting something better. The kingdom of heaven, he added, is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Finding one of great value, he went away, and because cost was not a factor, he also sold everything he had and bought that pearl. Note that both of these precious finds were worth everything that these people had. In other words, cost was not a factor. No matter how much you may own, no matter how glamorous you may be, no matter how high on the IQ scale you register, if you have missed out on the kingdom of heaven, then you've missed out on the one thing in life whose value exceeds all others. Hopefully, each of us can understand that. According to Jesus' teaching, this is the most important thing I can say to you. If it is true that the kingdom of God is worth more than everything else we own, don't you think that you and I should know more about this kingdom on that Christ is describing? And furthermore, don't you think that this should be our greatest priority? And furthermore, it should be what our life is geared toward. This should be our greatest priority and goal, to appropriate the kingdom for ourselves. What can we say this morning about the kingdom of heaven that will help us see how priceless it is? By the way, sometimes writers of the New Testament say kingdom of heaven, and other times they say kingdom of God. They mean the same thing. You see, a good Jew considered the name of God so sacred in those days that he or she would not even write God's name. In fact, that still is the case today. Perhaps that is the reason that Matthew, who was writing for a Jewish audience, was hesitant to write kingdom of God for fear of violating the holiness of God's name. So he used the term kingdom of heaven, but they mean the same thing. What is the kingdom that Christ spent most of his ministry proclaiming? And how can we go about gaining this treasure for ourselves? It's interesting that even though the kingdom of heaven was the primary content of Jesus' teaching, it is almost an unknown entity to many Christians. So let's try to get our minds around this important kingdom that Jesus talked about so much. Here's the main thing we need to remember. The kingdom of God exists anywhere that God rules. Let me say that again. The kingdom of heaven exists anywhere that God rules. Does God rule in your life? Then you are already experiencing the kingdom of God. Wherever God is, there is God's kingdom. This is to say that wherever God is, there is love, joy, peace, and happiness. What would it be worth to you to have love, peace, joy, and happiness or satisfaction in your life? There was an interesting story online recently about the world's third richest man, Warren Buffett. Buffett has an estimated net worth of $83.3 billion. That's a great deal of money. Somehow, with all that money, Buffett has managed to maintain many of his Midwestern values, as well as a wonderful sense of compassion. Buffett is a wise man when it comes to money. People pay small fortunes to solicit his advice. So he has been dubbed the Oracle of Omaha. How much would it be worth to you to have lunch with Warren Buffett? It's interesting. Each year, Buffett auctions off the chance for someone to have a personal meal with him, and he gives the proceeds to charity. For the past two decades, for 20 years, he has donated the proceeds from this auction to the Glide Memorial Foundation, a ministry of San Francisco's Glide Memorial Church. Glide Memorial is a remarkable multicultural church that for 57 years has been committed to helping the poor, the homeless, and the most vulnerable among us. Now, since their beginning, the auctions of these lunches with Warren Buffett have raised more than $30 million for the ministry of Glide Memorial. You heard me right, $30 million for a series of simple lunches with the Oracle of Omaha. When I saw this, I calculated that people pay, they must pay an average of $1.5 million per lunch. But I was a little off. Would you like to know how much the most expensive of these lunches sold for? This year's winner paid $4.6 million to have lunch with Warren Buffett. I'm sure they didn't have hamburgers and french fries either. $4.6 million. Even if I could afford it, I wouldn't pay $4.6 million for lunch with anyone except Jesus Christ. And I know that he would insist that I give the money to the poor. And that brings me to say this. Lunch with Warren Buffett is one thing, but how much would you and I pay to live in the kingdom of God continuously? In other words, what would it be worth to have God totally rule over our life? That's what it means to live in God's kingdom. Or more literally, how much would it be worth to us to have the kingdom of God live in us? That's the option that Jesus is offering us. I'd say the gift is priceless, so the cost should not be a factor. Whatever the cost, it's okay. But you see, the real tragedy is that we resist the option that Jesus offers us. Why do we resist living in God's kingdom and allowing that kingdom to live in us? It's because we think we can do a better job than God can in ordering our life. We love to be in control, don't we? Even if being in control offers us a mediocre life at best, we miss so much in life because we refuse to turn over control of our lives to God. I have to share with you something, an incident that happened with me last year, almost a year ago, when I was returning from Florida, just getting off the shuttle at the Daytona Beach Airport, and stepped off of the shuttle and experienced a muscle spasm. This muscle spasm sent me almost to the ground, but I found a stool or something or a podium and I kind of fell over that. I was with several other clergy women. We had just come from a conference and they looked around and saw me. I dropped my purse and everything and they went into action. One called for a skycap, one called for a wheelchair. Somebody else did something else. Somebody else said something. They gathered my luggage. And me being me, I was trying to say, okay, well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And my purse and one of my colleagues who I've known for a good 30 years turned around and looked at me and said, sit down, shut up, and realize that you are not in control. We got this. And I shut up. But I was so used to running things without recognizing that here I was needing to depend on someone else. That's what happens to us in life so often. We forget that we need to depend on God, and we think somehow that we are in control. There's a fascinating story in a book that's called God's Little Devotional Book for Women. It's taken from the Los Angeles Times some years ago. According to this news story, a screaming woman was trapped for a time in a car dangling from a freeway transition road in East Los Angeles. A half dozen passing motorists stopped. They grabbed some rope from one of their vehicles. They tied the ropes to the back of the woman's car, and they hung on until the fire units arrived. A ladder was extended from below to help stabilize the car while firefighters tied the vehicle to their tow trucks with cables and chains. Every time we would move the car, said one rescuer, this woman would yell and scream. She was in pain. It took almost 2.5 hours for the passerbys, the California Highway Patrol officers, tow truck drivers, and firefighters, about 25 people in all, to secure the car and pull the woman back to safety. It was kind of funny, LA County Fire Captain Ross Marshall recalled later. She kept saying, "I'll do it myself, I'll do it myself." That's us, isn't it? We want to be in control of our own lives. Even if we sometimes mess up our lives, even if we are not too satisfied with how our lives have turned out, even if life is overpowering us, even if challenges are overpowering us, we want to be in control of our own lives. We want control. Yet Jesus says to us that we will never find the abundant life that God offers us until we put ourselves completely under God's control. That's a lesson that the late Catherine Marshall learned. Some of you remember this well-known author, Catherine Marshall. At one time, she was married to the famous young pastor, the Reverend Peter Marshall. In the late 1940s, he was chaplain of the U.S. Senate. During that time, after only 13 years of marriage, and while he was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, Peter Marshall died quite unexpectedly of a heart attack. Later, Catherine wrote a book about his life, and she titled it A Man Called Peter, which became a bestseller and was made into a popular movie. Catherine Marshall was an accomplished author. Over the years, it's reported that she sold more than 16 million books. She was a remarkable woman. But like us, she didn't get through life without her problems and without her issues. She didn't get through life unscathed. In 1961, she wrote an inspirational autobiography. In that autobiography, she tells of a dark time in her life, even before her husband's sudden death. It seems that after her son's birth in 1940, Catherine was homebound with tuberculosis for nearly 3 years. She was ordered to bed 24 hours a day for an indefinite period. It was a devastating time. Her husband and young son needed her, and she was confined to bed. And yet, after a year and a half, she was no better. She wondered, was God punishing her for some secret sin from her past? She tried confessing every wrong that surfaced to her consciousness, everything that she remembered that she could possibly have done wrong. She confessed and repented for it. For example, once in high school, she had cheated on an algebra test. She confessed and repented for that. There were other minor transgressions that troubled her mind, though none of them as bad as what some others, including you and I, may have perhaps committed. She wrote letters to everyone she could think of that she had wronged, including her husband, asking their forgiveness for any sins that she had unknowingly committed. Still, she didn't get better. Ultimately, her search for health became a search for a new relationship with God. Prior to this time, she had been a conventionally religious person. You know what that is. A conventionally religious person we sometimes call the sunshine only Christians or the Easter or Christmas saints. She was a conventionally religious person, but now she longed for something more. The question was, what was blocking that relationship? Finally, she admitted to herself that she had never put herself completely under God's control. And so she took the critical step that changed her life forever. One sunshiny June morning, she made a quiet pledge to God. And here's that pledge she made. She said, it's 10:12 a.m. on the 22nd of June, 1944. From this moment, I promise that I'll try to do whatever you tell me for the rest of my life, insofar as you'll make it clear to me what your wishes are. I'm weak, and many times I'll probably renege on this, but Lord, you'll have to help me with that too. That was Catherine Marshall's pledge. Within 6 weeks, the difference showed. She was out of her bed, taking walks, participating in activities with her family. In other words, suddenly life was good, so good. That didn't mean that she no longer faced adversities or problems. Remember, this was but a short time before her husband Peter had his fatal heart attack. Life still had its challenges, but with God ruling her life, living as it were in the kingdom of God, she was able to face life's challenges with the knowledge that she could always count on God to bring her through. Wouldn't you love to have that assurance? Wouldn't you like to know complete fulfillment, complete love, complete peace, complete joy? Even in the midst of a pandemic, and the murder of black and brown bodies at the hands of those entrusted to serve and protect. Even in the midst of riots and military troops attacking peaceful protesters. Even in the midst of federal executions and climate change and job losses and a shaky economy with no safety net. Even in the midst of cancer diagnosis and poverty. Even in the midst of questionable politics and politicians, despite all this, you can have that assurance, you know. Despite all these contradictions to what we envision as the reflection of the kingdom of heaven, we can still experience that kingdom when we turn our lives over to God completely. You see, the kingdom of God exists anywhere that God rules. If God rules in your life, then you are already experiencing the kingdom of God. Wherever God is, there is God's kingdom. So we must give our lives completely over to God. A good start would be to pray the prayer that Catherine Marshall prayed. Dear God, from this moment I promise that I'll try to do whatever you tell me for the rest of my life, insofar as you'll make it clear to me what your wishes are. Don't let cost be a factor. Give your all to God. Let the kingdom of God live in you. And you know what? You'll possess a treasure that is priceless. Let the people of God say, amen. We turn now to our time for prayers and concerns. We will share with you one celebration that we heard of, and that's the celebration for the birth of Lucas Williams, the firstborn son of Laureline and Ron's nephew in Boston. We would place on our prayer list a prayer for the safe return of Lucas's grandparents to Kansas. We also place on our prayer list our continued prayers for Gloria Jenkins as she continues with, you know, her health needs and health concerns. And we turn now to our elders. I won't call you by name like I said last week. I'll let you, starting with whether there are concerns from United Patterson, Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan, excuse me. We'll start there and just go through the list. And if you have concerns, share. Good morning.
Good morning. There are no concerns, no known concerns by me, but I'd like just to wish happy birthday to Miss Erica Gordon and everyone else celebrating a birthday in July. I do not have a list with me, but just a general happy birthday to everyone who celebrated and who will be celebrating birthdays in July. That's it.
Thank you. And I guess I should add my great-great-niece to that birthday list. She turned 7 yesterday. My precocious great-great-niece, who has done some remarkably interesting things in her few short years. But I wish Elena Meadows a happy birthday as well. From Presbyterian Church of Teaneck, are there joys or concerns you wish to share?
Hello, Pastor. This is Melvin England. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Hello, congregation. I would like to share some good news. First of all, I want to thank everyone for participating in our first online auction. It was a huge success. We had outstanding numbers, almost 400 people who viewed the site and over 77 bids. So we will certainly share those numbers with you later. We would like to say thank you to the Presbyterian Church, United Presbyterian Church in Patterson, for those who also participated. We appreciate you. And that's all I have to say. Thank you to everyone for that, for their enthusiastic participation.
Yes,
we also like, I'm sorry, we also want to thank Dr. Boachi, Lurleen Gillespie, and Jackie Collier. Thank you so much. Just to name a few that really went above and beyond. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, that was an interesting experience. We'll have to try that next time. And then I saw that on the line there were trips, and so we were wondering, you know, during this time, you know, how long those trips were good for. You know, if they're good for a couple of years, I might invest in one of these days. Other joys and concerns from the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck.
Yes, good morning. This is Edward Chang Soon here.
Good morning.
Good morning to my church family. Loretta Swartz made contact with me, and she would like to have prayers for her son-in-law, Arthur Cole. He was discovered with 4 arteries that were blocked, and he's due for surgery within a week's time, I hope, prayerfully, at the Morristown Hospital. The procedure will be 3 stents and 1 bypass. So hopefully within a week, he should have that procedure done.
So for Arthur Cole, the son-in-law of our own member, Loretta Swartz, we will lift him up in prayer this morning. Other concerns?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, in general, there are not really any concerns that stick out, with the exception of a longtime friend of Brother Blaine Shaw, Stephen Clark, who's in Indiana, is in rehab. He had some type of unspecified illness that left him without control of his legs, and so he's in rehab recuperating from that. And also, too, I would like to give a prayer of thanksgiving for good news in terms of the outcome of Sister Mary Coleman's test. She had a number of tests, fairly routine, but they came out well. And as you know, tests can turn what you think is routine one at one moment becomes serious the next. And so we're thankful for the outcome.
All right, thank you. Other concerns? We'd also add Edna Anderson to our prayer list this morning as she looks at some health issues and prepares for tests as well. Let us then, as the people of God, join together in the time of prayer. To come to you, O God, who is and shall be, one who with might performs wonders and with graciousness bestows manifold blessings. Lord, we are honored to come to you. You speak, and the heavens thunder with the sound of your voice. You stretch forth your hand, and even the sparrows find safe lodging. In Christ Jesus, you chose to walk among your people, revealing in him your marvelous love. As your Holy Spirit breathes fresh upon us, we are filled with the sense of your presence everywhere. You chose not to leave us alone, but to guide us. For all your mercies, O Lord, we give you our thanks. You have told us, O Lord, that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. But Lord, so many things seem to contradict this. Pandemics and violence and hatred and murder, crime and illness, unemployment and uncertainty and poverty, leaders who care more about politics than people. Lord, these things seem to contradict the assurance you have given us that all things work together for good. Lord, in these times of uncertain days and questionable tomorrows, we struggle to see how all things work together for good for those who love you. So open our eyes to the many joys and blessings that surround us, each being its own modern day mirror. We pray for a reoccurring sense of revelation. We pray for a powerful presence that will enlighten our vision. We pray for a reminder that when you speak, healing occurs and suffering can end. We pray, O Lord, for the kingdom of God to live in us. We thank you for the joys that bring meaning to our life, whether in our immediate families or in our extended families. We thank you for the miracles that we've witnessed, although sometimes we just kind of think that it's just the normal routine of things. And we lift before you, Lord, all those who have been named and those who are not named, those who we are thinking about right now in our families. Those in our community. We lift before you each household represented by someone on this worship service this morning. We know how Christ calls us to follow. We ask for direction in our quest to obey. He calls us to struggle on behalf of your righteousness, O God. So we pray that you will keep us from complacency that hinders our response. Give us those extraordinary glimpses of your purpose and grant us strength to obey your will. Help us not to unduly be unduly anxious when the results of our actions are not readily seen and known. Lord, lessen our desires to control our own destiny and give us the freedom to take risk for your sake, not counting the cost of discipleship. When we stumble, Lord, set us securely once again on your path. When we take detours, Lord, keep us safe until we regain our bearings. You know who we are and where we are trying to go. Help us to receive a true vision of the kingdom of heaven, O Lord, even in the midst of experiencing those things which are a contradiction of the kingdom you offer to us. Lord, hear our individual and collective prayers and grant us your peace, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We close this time of worship with the hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Of this time of worship, we would pray that each of you would remain safe. And we just heard that a couple of our members are without air conditioning today. And so we pray that you will find a way to keep cool. Let us then be dismissed God's divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own, to be his own, and by his own glory and goodness. Therefore, may grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We remind you that Sunday school will have its last Sunday school lesson, virtual Sunday school lesson for the summer at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And we invite you now to unmute if you would like, and just, and you can also turn your cameras on if you want to, and just have an opportunity to greet each other. Go in peace. Let us take this opportunity to greet each other.
Hello, everyone, from Jim and Jackie.
Yes, we saw your face while Miss Jackie was reading. That kind of threw us off there. Since she's changed her look a little bit.
Better half.
Oh, please. Okay.
Congratulations, Lurleen and Ron, on your grandson.
No, this isn't their grandson. This is their niece, the son to our nephew, isn't it, Lorraine?
Yes, it is.
Okay. See, we were giving you grandbabies.
No. Have kids first. Good morning, Lerna. Good morning. I was speaking with my Guyanese friend for about 2 hours yesterday.
Oh, great.
Are you getting pepper sauce?
Get my pepper sauce. Good morning.
Love you all. Love you guys.
Love you more. We so enjoy every Sunday with you guys virtually.
So yes, it's good. And we're next week we may be adding another state to our virtual worship. Some of the folks in Indianapolis at my former church, Emmanuel, I've been talking with them, and they indicated that they were not doing worship right now, and so I am inviting them to join us. So we might, they will be the 10th state added to our virtual worship.
That's great.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
Wonderful news.
You're going national, Pastor Tate.
Hey, what can I say? If we had some national money, we'd be okay. All right. But you didn't hear me say that. Praise the Lord.
Might have to apply for syndication or something.
Hey, what can you say? But we are going to look into streaming so that we can continue the virtual worship. Several people, Mrs. Jenkins, for instance, said that, you know, she really did appreciate having the virtual worship. And so, you know, we want to continue that when we when we get back to whatever normal is going to be for us.
Pastor, amen. I just wanted you to know that during the service, there were times when your voice was fading.
Okay.
And then that's why I was using my earphone at times too.
Okay, that may be because Ms. Heather Bennett did a background thing. He said my voice was fading.
Yeah, it was fading and then, yeah.
Okay, so she's got to change this back. She was doing a background, advanced background, whatever kind of setting.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. So I'll see what she was doing. But we you know, every week we're learning something new.
Yes.
And so eventually we're going to be experts at this thing. And all of us can go out and maybe start our own little company. Praise the Lord. But anyhow, I hope that all of you stay cool. It's kind of muggy in here. I come in about an hour early and I turn the air conditioner on and we have a fan going. So that's why she was working on the background noise to make sure that didn't interfere. You know, the sound of the fan and the air conditioner didn't kind of throw everything off. So, but we'll change that setting back.
Okay. So stay safe, everyone.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, have a good day.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye. You too.
Bye.
Good week, church family.
All right. Thank you so much. Morning. Traveling mercies to the Colliers. They are away. And so whenever you come back home, we wish you well. And we hope that you enjoy your time away.
Thank you.
Sister Mary and Greg, we see you down there. Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. I was looking for to see if Mrs. Ethel Brown was on with us. I don't see her on this morning.
She's right there. Where's Sister Rebecca Small?
Yes. Yeah, I was looking for Rebecca. Oh, there she is. Okay. Okay. So let me see if I can un-video her or unmute her.
Who's that?
Trying to work this dirt
computer. Okay, she's unmuted.
Okay, I got, all right. I was trying to control it from here, and it's like, Lord, this thing is just rolling all over the place. Hi, Mr. Brown.
Hi, how you doing? How's everybody? I don't know how to control this computer.
That's okay. We're all kind of doing our own little thing, but good seeing you. How's everything going?
Oh, she's going now. She cut it off. She's going. I don't need you, but it's gone.
No, but she did it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And we see some of our friends from United that have joined us that were there. Okay. So, again, hopefully everyone will stay safe and stay hydrated, stay cool, and we hope that you all have a blessed week.
Yes.
Thank you. You too.
All righty.
Have a blessed week.
All right. Thank you. So we will say fare thee well.
Fare thee well.
Not in the final sense, but you know what I mean. Temporarily. All right, then. Take care.
Thank you, Pastor Tate. Okay.